Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning, Amy Jacobson here, and looky who's here in the studio.
How you doing?
How are you? The Ramblin' Ray is here. Do you want me to call you Ramblin' Ray or Ray Stevens?
You can call me Ramblin' Ray, Ray Stevens. If you're listening in West Chicago, Wheaton, Winfield, you can call me Ray Stayskull, however it works.
Wait, what came up with Ray Stayskull?
Well, that's my real name.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You know, I had to get a fake radio name.
Did you really?
To make it in Chicago. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's...
So are you Italian?
No, I'm German and Bohemian.
Really?
Yeah, okay, I look Italian.
But you do look Italian.
I know. I get that a lot.
Italians love me.
I play Italian on the radio.
So how'd you come up with Stevens? Were you on the Stevenson Highway on I-55 and decided this is it?
I wanted to get into radio, and out on Eola Road in Aurora was WAUR 107.9. And long story short, program director's like,
"Oh, no, we've got 4 hours. Go
okay,
ahead."
Okay, well, I'll take my time. So I go to do this internship at this radio station, which at the time was really big. It's 50,000-watt FM, and I pull in a Mustang convertible, and the program director comes out and meets me at my car, and he's like, "I need that car for a parade." And I said, "Well, that's cool because I need to be on the radio." So right away, I'm just working a deal from day one.
Oh, my gosh.
And my ethnic Chicago name wasn't good enough for the program director, so he takes an old copy of Radio and Records, the old R&R. Looks in the want ads and starts rifling through last names I can use. I'm just a kid. I'm like, I can't. My dad, who is a Chicago contractor, he's a construction worker from Brookfield, you know, he's not going to want me to use a fake last name, and it's not going to go over well. And it's, you know how program directors are. Right. They all share one brain cell.
Not Marcus Brown.
I like Marcus. He says, "How about Stevens?" And I said, "Don't." No, it works
Ray Stevens
for me.
Sounds good.
It's fine.
And then, how'd you get Ramblin' Ray when you went to country?
No, I was the late Joe Collins. God rest his soul. He's not with us any longer. I was working a morning. I was working a morning show for Y108, and I was, I was the goofy guy on the street. I was just a kid. And I went to a construction site, and I got these construction workers to cut a porta potty in half and use it as a sled down a...
You did.
Yeah. Well, it was during a big snowstorm, and I had all these construction workers sledding down a stockpile.
In a porta potty
that they cut in half for Rolling Stones tickets. And Joe Collins said, "Man, that Ray is just a rambling guy, and it's kind of stuck ever since."
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, recently, you did a fundraiser with your old partner, Lisa Dent, for a football player.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that and how we can help?
And
I can't remember his name. I'm
sorry.
His
name is Aiden Carlson. Okay. And what's interesting is he plays for St. Charles North, which is one of the biggest rivals of my kids' school. My kids go to Batavia, where I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's a kid that was just arrested for trying to make a explosive cocktail or something out there. That's
in Batavia?
That's
Mike
nice.
Would know, Mike.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... No, it's true.
Okay.
And this kid got hit in a game. And
what position did he play?
I want to say he was a linebacker because he's a wrestler as well, so he's lighter. He
flies
around the ball. He's a good kid. Collapses in the locker room, and they take him to I think they took him to maybe Delnor. Then they airlifted him out, brain bleed, and they find out that
was
something that happened previous. You know, in games previous, they didn't catch it, so.
It wasn't a brain aneurysm. It was from a hit in a game.
Well,
possibly an earlier game or maybe practice.
Yeah, I think it was like it was something that happened over time. So they right now, and I don't want to speak out of school on the family. They're very private. But long story short is, I thought we got to help this kid. Yeah. His folks aren't you know, they live in St. Charles, and right away everybody thinks, well, if you live in St. Charles, you have to live in Crane Road Estates and have a 7,000-square-foot home, and your dad must make $1 million. It's not the case with this guy. So I reached out to a friend of mine, Perry Mandera, who owns Custom Companies, which is a big logistics outfit, you know, big believer in this radio station and others, and he gave me a suite for the Blackhawks, best suite you can get in the house.
Wow.
And we went out there on the night that Batavia played St. Charles, and Lisa and I did a big fundraiser. And raise some money for this kid. And he goes to St. Charles North. You can still help him if you want. And he needs it. He needs.
Is there a GoFundMe page?
You know, there is a GoFundMe page. I will, you know, let me find out what that is so I don't misspeak. And we'll get it up on your website. And we had a fun day getting back together to do that. She's a lot more fun than John Howell, and she smells nicer.
John Howell prides himself, though, on being well-kept.
Yeah. I don't know when that started, because the John Howell that I knew when I started, you know, with working with John, he was from Michigan.
Yeah.
He wore a cowboy hat and boots and a duster, and he had a country band, and if we were here right now, he would yell at me and say, I am not that John Howell.
I know, but I performed with him and his country band at Naperville Rib Fest.
Good band.
It was Born to Boogie band.
Yeah, they're great.
Worst name of a band ever.
Well, now that's, you got to stop, because that's a Hank Williams Jr. song, Born to Boogie.
Yeah, okay.
That's where he got the name for the band.
It was awful. I was in a few bands. The Garage Band, pretty bad name, because it was a garage band. So what are we going to call ourselves? Garage Band. But Hubie and the Janitors, that was my favorite band.
You know,
that I was in.
I go back to a guy I used to work with, and I know I bring this up to you a lot. But this guy's name is Mick Haler, and Mick used to work for Lou Jack, and he's been around the radio corner a lot.
I've heard about Mick my whole life.
Oh, my God. And he was obsessed with you.
Really?
And because he always said, you know, we're gonna start a band, and we're going to call it Amy Jacobson's Hat, because you would be on NBC and have the coolest hats. And I'm just
now
like,
everybody wears hats.
I'm like, dude, I go, you really need to, it's getting kind of creepy now.
That's right. I'd send him 8x10s and...
Yeah,
I think he wanted a copy of the Women of Iowa calendar in or something.
and here's the thing:
a restraining order on him.
Well, this is part of what started the whole Me Too movement. You know, Mick Haler. But
Ramblin' Ray, Ray Stevens, thanks for being with us today.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Sing it. Oh, you've got a great
turn my mic on.
Now sing it. Me.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. Yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Buy
your tickets now.
We have a chance. If we win.
Oh, my
out,
God.
Oh, no.
What is this we? Are you on the team now?
Oh, yeah. I didn't. I know. Yeah. I'm offensive line.
Lining up under center. It's Amy Jacobs.
Yeah. That's what my son plays right wing.
Right wing.
Wait, right
that
guard.
Would be, that would be hockey.
Right guard.
Okay, right guard. Where?
He's a sophomore. He's been playing varsity since his freshman year at Amundsen High School.
Oh, you know that.
You know the big dominant Vikings. He's a great, great kid, and he's working so hard.
Even
in the off season.
I date a lovely woman, but I tell her all the time, I will leave you for a suburban mom with a son that has a chance of playing varsity ball.
Well, is now our time.
There you go.
Cue the music.
There you go.
We're going to start something real
high
special.
High school football, there's nothing better, man. It's so good and pure.
It's so romantic. Yeah. So real.
Oh, so genuine. They met on a radio station called AM 560, The Answer. The question was, will you? And she said yes.
And okay, Clark Weber.
Everything from there was fantastic.
She had him at line up on the line. Right guard.
But right wing.
She said right wing.
Yeah.
No, right wing.
I get it.
Right wing. Okay, yeah, Red Grange.
Yeah, you have to toe the company line. Yeah, everything is right wing.
Yes, exactly. Here at AM 560.
There you go.
But Mitch Trubisky, he's back. He threw for 3 touchdowns and ran a 4th in. And I'm so proud of the Bears. I think that this is it. Because if we went out, all we have to do is beat Green Bay. All we have to do is beat Kansas City. And all we have to do is beat Minnesota in order to go. To get a wild card spot.
You know, I honestly thought the Bears would finish 6-10. I didn't think they'd win another game. I didn't have them winning last night. I thought for sure, because if you look at the Cowboys And I'm a, don't get me wrong, I'm a Bear fan.
Right,
but
it's the Cowboys. There's something nostalgic about the Cowboys.
But they're loaded with talent. They're loaded with talent.
Their coach can't get him to work together.
Well, the coach. I think the coach pretty much wrote himself off last night.
Jason Garrett might be gone.
I think that Nagy had a good plan last night. Trubisky threw some passes that were tight into coverage that
we haven't seen that all season.
No.
I was so hopeful.
And when you let him roll out of the pocket and do what he can do with his feet, I think that changes things up. But I think you should stop short of buying your playoff tickets just yet.
No, I think it's going to – I'm a believer. But Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones, was asked a question about Garrett.
This leveled out here. It's losing, losing, losing. So I'm not trying to be funny here, but the point is that we've got to win a football game. I don't care what the standings are, what the numbers are. We're not collectively getting together as a team and doing the things it takes to win a ball game.
And then somebody followed up like, are you going to get rid of Jason Garrett? And he said, no, I'm sticking with him. But I don't understand how they're number one in the NFC East. That division must stink so bad because they're 6-7.
Yeah, Nazareth, the high school's ranked better than them in that division.
I mean,
yeah. Mount Carmel could beat that division right now. I would think that Jason Garrett has to be done. I mean, you know that Jerry Jones. And wouldn't you like to work for a boss that after a loss, not only does the head coach do a press conference, but the owner has to do it.
The owner does it. Yeah.
But he's a good offensive coordinator masquerading as a head coach.
Yeah, and they want Urban Meyer to come in. That's what the
is that the rumor?
Yes, that's the rumor that he's going to be out. But I interviewed Jerry Jones once when the Bears were at the Super Bowl in Miami. Remember, what year was that? 2007.
Yeah,
2007. And we sometimes you double punch, photographers do, or so they think they're rolling and they're not. And so I had to go back and interrupt him during dinner. He was at a dinner with 15 people.
Oh, no.
And I did the whole, like, I used to live in El Paso, Texas, and I love the Cowboys, you know, even though I'm a Bears fan. But I had to interrupt him. I'm so sorry, Mr. Jones. I am so sorry for bothering you, but can we interview you again? Do you mind? And he goes, honey, for my Texas girl, anything for you.
Well, that's cool.
And then he came out. And wasn't that sweet? Yeah. He was the nicest man.
I bet you he wouldn't have done it for me.
Yeah, I bet he wouldn't have done it for you.
But let me tell you something, Midwest boy. Get the hell out of here. I'd do it for that blonde girl, though. I will.
Yeah, he was very, very sweet. And what we're doing here at AM 560, The Answer, is raising money for those less fortunate. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Ray, but we have our annual Food for the Poor campaign.
It's one of the largest international relief and development organizations in the United States.
It is. And our goal this year is to feed, to provide food for a year for 600 Venezuelan families living in Colombia.
How do you do
that? That socialist dictator drove everybody out. You can't even eat. There's no food in the garbage cans. There's no squirrels to eat or any like stray animals. People are starving. The average Venezuelan has lost 25 pounds since, I'm not kidding you.
So are you telling me I need to move to Venezuela?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Ray, stick with the program. Do not make light of this.
No, because the people that are fleeing Venezuela into Colombia, they're being met by people from Food for the Poor. They have 11 feeding centers set up to feed 9,000 people a day.
How do you do better than that?
You don't. And Food for the Poor is such a wonderful organization, 5-star rated global charity. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to those in need. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to make a one-time donation of $300. It's just $25 a month. And with that, you'll feed a family of four for 1 year.
If you break that down, you think about it. Right now, you're on your way to your gig. You're doing whatever you do. You know, you live an eloquent life. You buy a cup of coffee. It's less than that a day.
Exactly. So call 844-862-HOPE, 844-862-HOPE, or go to 560theanswer.com, search for the keyword food. Yesterday, we came to the halfway mark of our goal, but we need your help. And the best thing to do, really, is to become a business benefactor. Do you want to tell them about the business benefactor program?
Isn't that where if you're you have a business and you call in, you can do, you get four commercials in
40.
Prime? 40.
40.
40 commercials in prime time. It's the best advertising deal in Chicago. I know that.
$2,500, tax deductible. The money goes to Food for the Poor. And you get 40 one-minute commercials that run Monday through Friday. And we want to thank some of our business benefactors. Dietz Janitorial, MS Consulting, Cafe Salsa, The Hearing Care Clinic, Flow Products. This is Scola Specialty Advertising. The list goes on and on. But this always sells out. So do it sooner rather than later. And if you have any questions, call our sales manager, Anjanette, at 847-472-8255. 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951. Or visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword food.
You know, really, if you think about it, I don't need a thing for Christmas. Everybody tells me, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, my sister, too. What do you want? I said, don't buy me. Yeah. I don't want anything. I'm minimizing. I'm getting rid of things.
Do some good in the hood, as we like to say.
Yeah, and make a donation on behalf of one of your, you know, family members who's well-fed or one of your well-fed children or grandchildren.
Right on. Get after that.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
So live your life. Hey. Instead of chasing my paper.
Oh, I'm so old to be singing this song. This is my favorite T.I. Rihanna song.
Well, it's good that you have a favorite Rihanna T.I. song.
Do you ever listen to him?
Not necessarily. If I'm going to listen to R&B, it's usually a little bit more old school, B-103 type of stuff. But
well,
I'm kind of a country guy, too.
You are?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I know.
You being a country guy. Thanks, Keith. All right, so real quick, before we get to the story.
I like that, how they just deliver your coffee.
I know, Keith. I hope you didn't stripling me.
This is a pro shop. This is a pro shop right here.
Did I say that out loud? Oh!
Oh, that's disgusting. You people ain't right.
That story will tell off air, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha.
All right, so what happened to you on the way to work today?
So you have to understand, there's a radio station on the dial to the right of here that let me go almost a year ago, and I've been kind of like in, you know, unemployment line and everything since. And I'm excited when I get to come fill in on a radio station anywhere. And I pull into your garage out here, which is just to the west of, I guess, the Bussy Woods. And I take a wrong turn. I open a door out of the parking garage, and now I'm going to be outside, kind of coming into the front of your building. I opened a door.
Oh, no one told you how to get in here?
Well, I called Justin, and he's helping me out, but I opened the wrong door, and I opened this door, and there's like this growling in this. Man, I'm telling you what, that was it. And there's a coyote the size of a Rottweiler outside the door with a rabbit. The rabbit's screaming. The coyote's growling.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm going to die. I'm like, I can see it right now in the Bob Feeder column. You know, radio has been Ramblin' Ray, chewed up by a coyote at the AM 560, The Answer.
He wasn't Republican enough, so the coyote ate him before he entered the building.
That's right. If you're in the middle of the road, you get run over or eaten by a coyote.
So he wasn't one of these scrounge, because I've seen a lot of coyotes that are, you know,
this coyote could have won the Westminster Dog Show. That's how good it looked. It was
really
big. And I closed the door. There's not a lot of things on earth that frighten me. I'm not afraid of any, you know, son born to a mother in this country.
Yeah.
And I opened that door and I was scared.
So it was inside the, it was.
No, it was just outside the door.
Okay.
And this thing looked at me with this poor, what's left of this rabbit in its mouth. Animal stories. No, the rabbit's not going to be okay. I said to Keith Conrad. I said, Keith, I go, is there like a security guard around here with a dog? Because there was a lot of noise. There's more than one. Because they'll do is they'll grab a rabbit and then they'll call the rest of the pack, and that's what was going on.
And the pack came.
It was something. So I almost died before I even cracked the mic here.
Well, thank you for coming to work.
I mean, you know, I know.
Despite all of that. All right, parents, we're going to need your help. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. I had never heard of this before, so let me just explain what's happening. T.I., the rapper, you know, whose music we just valiantly played a while ago, he has annually given his daughter, his teenage daughter, virginity tests. He takes her to the gynecologist once a year to make sure that her hymen is still intact. And now, since that made the news last week, now state lawmakers are considering barring doctors for performing this so-called virginity test. Because there is widespread backlash following his, you know, recent disclosure that he takes his daughter for this intrusive test. Is the test itself child abuse?
Well, it's supposed from what I gather, and I don't know much about the virginity test.
Well, you've got two daughters, right?
I hope that you raise your daughters in a way that you can be able to somehow trust them. Uh-huh. But I think that how humiliating must that be for his daughter? Are you out of your mind? You want your kid to hate you?
Right.
I don't care who you are.
Well, he provides a lot because he's well off, so I'm sure he provides for her,
I don't care. This is why, you know, things like this idiot is why we have young women and women in general that have so many problems because of guys like this.
So lawmakers want to do this. This is in New York, but if it happens in New York, eventually it comes, you know, to the Midwest. The legislation would prohibit medical practitioners from performing virginity examinations and would subject them to penalties for professional misconduct. So if they breach the ban, then they would have to face a fine or possibly lose their medical license.
Well, here in my house, what I do is my daughters are free to come out of the basement at 18. So, you know, that's how we beat teenage pregnancy in my house. You know, here.
Do you talk to them about it? I mean, is it...
What about sex?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm wide open, man. But here, you know, if you're divorced. So, but okay. If you're a good, and my ex-wife is lovely. We get along very well.
Good. I'm glad to hear.
And
that.
You know, we're very open. And my oldest daughter, you know, she runs probably a little wilder than my youngest daughter who goes to Batavia. She's just not that kind of person. My oldest daughter, who the hell knows? But I think if you raise your kids in a way that reflects values and how you are, I think that they'll always remember, well, what would mom and dad say? That was always the thing when I was a kid. You didn't want to break your mom's heart. You didn't want to break your dad's heart. Raise your kids and don't worry about crap like this.
Well, my son's going on his first date ever tomorrow, and I'm very worried.
How old is he?
He's 16.
You know,
and he's taking a train to Fox Lake. Because he met her at some football game in Round Lake when he was leaving. You know, I guess he ran into her and met her. And
oh, yeah.
They've been texting and calling each other ever since. So I'm putting him on a train to go out to the end of the line, to speak, on Metra. And he's going to go see the movie Frozen.
Nice. You know, hey, better.
Frozen 2. And then he's going to take the 8:20 train home.
Better Metra than Uber or Lyft, according to the reports I've seen.
Oh, yeah,
on them
we'll
lately.
Get to that.
But,
hey,
you know. I'm sure that that you're a fine mother and you've raised him in a way that he's going to respect her and you have nothing to worry about.
I hope so. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Because some people are complaining that this is overreach of the government, that the government are trying to decide what's best for our children and that if you're a parent, you should be in charge of your child.
Well, you know, is anybody in charge of anything anymore? Does anybody take responsibility for anything anymore?
You do. Let's go to Neil, who joins us from LaGrange. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning. Love your show. I find it fascinating that, you know, they're going to prohibit these parents from doing a virginity test, but they'll allow physicians to give 6-, 7-, and 8-year-olds all these hormone pills for the transgender surgery and things like that. Now, I think that's child abuse.
Good point.
I'm not going to disagree.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Thanks, Neil.
Anyway, government overreach here? A little, you think?
Yeah. A little bit. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Hey, you too. Merry Christmas, pal.
So the Atlanta rapper, he's 39. He said that the doctor told him that a woman's hymen, I'm sure you guys want to hear about this, big hymen Friday.
What the hell? What did you bring? Conrad, what did you bring me into here?
A hymen can be broken through other activities besides sex, like biking or horseback riding. And he told the doctor, so I say, look, doc, she don't ride no horses. She don't ride no bike. She don't play no sports. Man, just check the hymen, please, and give me back my results. That's what he said in an interview.
Well, I would just say, Dad, I was on a bike. I swear to God. I was doing a century. I was on a bike. I rode 100 miles. My hymen broke. I'm sorry. Don't tell my boyfriend.
Please forgive me.
You've made the switch, and it feels so good. You've switched to Chicago's Morning Answer. An AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, this is T.I. too, right? Who wants to go out with that guy?
Well,
can you imagine what his wife has to go through if his daughter has to go through virginity testing? Hello.
Baby, I was out on tour. I need to come back and just a quick checkup of you, and then we'll be fine.
Well, out on tour was former Vice President Joe Biden. He wants to be the next president. You know, he's a Democratic front runner in Iowa and in New Hampshire. But he got a little testy yesterday with an Iowa man who was talking about the Ukraine scandal, and he asked him about his son Hunter, and that, you know, didn't you get your son Hunter a job? And it got really ugly really fast.
A damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has ever said that.
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
come on. Hey, isn't that the rally cry of the left, is that, you know, this toxic masculinity thing needs to go away, and here you've got your one of your hopefuls, you know, out here basically telling this guy, one, you're fat, and two, I want to challenge you to a push-up contest. What is he, nuts?
The fact that you're watching TV makes you sedentary.
Well, here.
That's what, and it was so disrespectful. I used to live in Iowa. I went to University of Iowa. Sorry. I worked in Cedar Rapids. Excuse me, what?
Sorry.
And the people there are genuine. They're, you know, yeah.
Here.
He questioned, it was a touchy subject, but he had the cojones to ask him about it, about how he used his position as vice president to get his son a $53,000 a month job on a Ukrainian board there. He never even lived in Ukraine. I mean, nice gig. And then it got worse because, here, listen closely. Is he saying fact or is he saying fat?
Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know.
Okay.
And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take the nice pizza.
Keep clapping for that.
Number two. No one has said my son has done anything wrong, and I did not on any occasion. And no one has ever said it. Not
I didn't
one.
Say you were doing anything wrong.
I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
Jack.
That's what I hear on MSNBC.
You don't hear that on MSNBC. You did not hear that at all. What you heard. Look, okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man.
You already did.
Well, yeah, you do. But look, fat. Look, here's the
deal.
Here's the deal. Any other questions?
And then he went on to say, I'm not going to vote for you anyway, which he's not. But I heard him say fat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here.
Why are you fat shaming that guy? Why is Biden such a bully? You want that guy to be your president?
What is, you know.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey .pro answer line. 64636, type a DA, then a quick comment.
How are you going to go to a flyover state, to a state where, you know, you got hardworking men and women, and go get in a fight with this guy, get in a fight with a farmer who's older? Yeah, he's heavier.
Yeah.
What good is that going to do you?
He's not winning the argument. Let's go to Craig, who joins us from Mount Greenwood. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Hey, good, Amy and Ray. Welcome aboard there. Listen, the thing about these dumbarants is they're not used to getting challenged in any way, shape, or form, or getting called out or anything. You see it with Pelosi getting all frazzled and everything like that. She looked like an idiot and everything, and getting unhinged over a question. Same thing with this Biden with his stupid remarks and basically getting all heated up, everything. They gotta keep the heat on these dumbarants and like that, because they got them on their heels with that kind of thing. And man, I'll tell you, Biden's remarks and all that stuff, you can see that his background is just being a thug-like kind of character when the stuff comes out when he's all frazzled out. They can't handle it.
Handle
the pressure.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate and say something that I probably shouldn't say, but here, I am not an employee of AM 560, The Answer. Now,
you're transitioning?
That would never work. I'm an ugly man. I'm making uglier women.
Conservative?
You can't, Trump goes and you know, he gets those thumbs working and he says stupid things. You know,
And we call him out on the show when he tweets something stupid.
Right.
And he acts unpresidential.
And the funny thing is here is when he gets dragged out by people on the other side and they're like, well, he's doing this and he's doing this and he's a bully. You can't then do the same thing. You can't. And what's happening is since there's 82 people running for the Democratic nomination.
Well, now it's down.
But still, there's a lot of people out there. They think it'll be Biden. Who knows? But the thing is you better act better than this guy that you're always calling out because you're doing the same thing.
But then I didn't like too because he kept getting closer to him and closer to
him. Well, no,
he's
a reactionary guy. He's a tough guy. And I love that. I love tough guys. I hate bullies. I've never liked bullies.
So is Biden a tough guy or a bully?
Biden? He's a sissy.
Let's go to Don, who joins us from beautiful Naperville. Good morning, Don.
Hey, what's going on? Hi, Ray. Glad you're back on the air.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Hey, I think that Joe Biden needs to reach out to this poor guy from Iowa and just sort of extend an olive branch, maybe he should buy him a nice Peloton.
See, now that would work, and the company price, the company stock wouldn't have been devalued so much over that that commercial that you're referring to, the skinny girl who got even skinnier.
Did you see that ad, though, by the way?
I did.
Thanks, Don, for the phone call.
I don't have a problem with that ad.
I don't either.
And
here's, she's skinny already.
But here's another thing. People don't, you know, you're in fantastic shape. Amy and I have done a lot of charity work together where we ride bicycles.
Oh,
and
we did
do
that
runs.
Century ride and then a marathon and then swam across Lake Michigan that day. Yeah, I remember it well.
But, you know, just because somebody's in shape doesn't mean that they shouldn't continue to be in shape. Just because you're thin doesn't mean you're heart healthy.
And some people are scared to actually, like, that was challenging for her to get on a bike and ride. Some people are afraid to do spin. I said, try it. The first time, you're going to hate it. But try it. The second and third time, you'll fall in love with it.
I did a spin class with the lunatic David Hochberg two Thursdays ago. And this guy was sweating so bad, Amy, he had bagels and beef coming out of his forehead.
Wait, David Hochberg works out?
Wait, I know,
what? The
I know.
Breaking news, David Hochberg works out.
It was something. I couldn't. I only had to resuscitate him twice.
That's great. Good for him. All right, let's go to Bob, who joins us from Oswego. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I got home from work yesterday after listening to Biden's, you know, rambling, and I watched ABC News, which it was just on in the background, and when it came on, when they showed this, I waited to hear the thing, the fat, which is what I heard. Mm-hmm. They completely cut that part out of their broadcast. They played it out, everything but that, and it just enraged me. I was like, oh, my God, they're so covering up for this guy.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Bob, for the phone call. Let's quickly go to Chris, who joins us from lovely Lyle. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. We got to make it fast. We're up against the clock.
Yep. Okay. So I was listening to the comment about the gentleman that checks his daughter's virginity. And my wife and I were talking about it and remembered someone that I'd worked with who drug tested his kids and was very public about it. What it does is it gives the daughter an out. Much like the kids that get drug tested, mm-hmm. You know, the kids can say to their friends, hey, look, my dad drug tests me. You know, I can't. What this young lady can now do is say, hey, look, my dad tests me. No, I can't. And she can actually helps kind of push off maybe an overly aggressive date.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
I think this is the first joinback music that didn't have T.I. on it this morning, and I'm thankful.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here, and in for Dan Proft is Ramblin' Ray. Ray Stevens.
I don't know if I can, you know, say that I'm filling in for, you know, the big shoes of a Dan Proft, but I'm here.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You're doing great. This is fun.
I'm nervous.
We're just scratching the surface. Because now I'm going to figure out how you lean politically with this next segment. Because as you know, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, made the big announcement yesterday that articles of impeachment are going to be filed against President Trump.
Today, I'm asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
Because she says it's all about the Constitution there, Ray, don't you know?
Yeah, I like it when you have a room full of constitutional scholars. And that has just got to make America go crazy.
The House Judiciary Committee, that 8 hours of my life I can't get back?
You'll never get back.
Well, here it's so weird because after one day and 8 hours of testimony, they're going to file articles of impeachment. I don't know if three are going to be drawn, four are going to be drawn. They're deciding that. But with Richard Nixon, they had hearings from February all the way to July.
Well, they want to
get this. So you think that this is being rushed? And I want to bring Mike Scott into the conversation because how many days did the House Judiciary Committee hear testimony on Bill Clinton? Do you remember? He's our show.
I'm recalling, I think, four sessions over 2 days. It was not long, but there were delays in between those sessions. So there was a sparring going back and forth, if I remember right, over witnesses. There wasn't it wasn't like the Nixon. It was very short compared to the Nixon investigation in the Judiciary Committee.
That's crazy. Well, you think that Nixon they're trying to shove this down people's throats?
Nixon didn't have that little blue dress thing.
You know? No,
no,
it's true.
But he did have people break into Watergate Hotel.
I don't know what sex is. What is that?
I don't know. But the thing that everyone's talking about, well, first let's, you know, talk about the Constitution, okay?
Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit.
But did she smoke one or five packs of cigarettes? What, is she maybe sick? Does
aunt
she have...
Nancy is like, she's like the aunt that you're forced to go see at Christmas, and you really don't want to go, but you got to go see Aunt Nancy because, you know, this could be the last year with her.
Oh my, I mean, honestly, it sounds like she gargled gravel. Really?
I tell you what, kids, yeah. I've been smoking for years, and my lung feels great.
But everybody's talking about what was the big news yesterday is when James Rosen, who's a good friend of the show, formerly of Fox News, asked her, do you hate President Trump? Is this filled with hatred?
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker?
Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with
it. I think it's an important point.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the elect. Take it up in the elect. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Whoa! We could have a WWE throwdown. You could have a Biden Pelosi tag team because they're ready to go at any time.
I mean, everybody was so a nervous fit, and so President Trump responded. Nancy Pelosi just had a nervous fit. She hates that we will soon have 182 great new judges and so much more. Stock market and employment records. She says she prays for the president. I don't believe her. Not even close. Help the homeless in your district, Nancy. And then the trade agreement with Canada. It's called USMCA, USMCA, which we're waiting for Congress to get off their hands and to do something.
USMCA, that's a place where if you're a young man, you can go when you're short on the dough,
well,
right? Isn't that what that
the
is?
North American Free Trade Agreement.
Okay,
it used to be NAFTA. It's that. And President Trump, you know, he still believes that this is all smoke and mirrors.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a big fat hoax.
And Mitch McConnell weighed in.
The speaker gave a speech on national television to push forward her rushed and partisan impeachment.
And last night, CNN does these town halls to the point it's nauseam. But last night they had Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you see
scheduled.
Here, Amy, I don't get CNN at my house.
Oh, that's right.
It don't come in. No,
well,
sir.
She responded to President Trump's tweet that she doesn't believe that she prays for him.
I believe that we should, but hate is a terrible word. So for him to say that was really disgusting to me. The president is a master at projecting. When he calls somebody else nervous, he's the nervous one. When he suspects that somebody's not praying, he's probably not praying. But I do pray for him because he is the president of the United States, and I pray that God will open his heart to meeting the needs of people in our country.
I pray for my family. I'm not wishing it on anybody else.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Do you believe who's lying here? Do you think she really prays for the president?
No, she doesn't. You know, I don't.
And then why she has this hate has no home sign around her neck?
You know, the thing is what I think would this thing, it's so illegitimate. From day one, everybody said they hated this guy. That was the term they used. People went out in droves. They wore pink hats on their head. They yelled. They screamed. His impeachment started on day one of election. When you start
19 days after he was inaugurated.
When you start there, it just there's no legitimacy to this because they just wanted the guy gone.
They tried Russia. That didn't work. They've tried everything.
Run the election. See what happens. Deal with the consequences. That's the way our process works.
Well, I think
works.
It's great because this whole impeachment theater is overshadowing the 2020 race the Democrat. I haven't seen Bernie Sanders on TV. Is he still on the race? I haven't even seen him at all.
Bernie's in the gym getting ready to fight Joe Biden.
That's right.
That's what it is. He's doing push-ups.
Let's go to Bob, who joins us from Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Amy? And hello to Ramblin' Ray. I don't know if you remember me. We met a couple of years ago at a White Sox game.
Bob, I remember. I think we were taking pictures, and you were hitting on John Howell.
Yeah.
I'm well, Bob. Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Question for you. When I heard Amy say she was a good Catholic, will somebody ask her point blank, so you approve of late-term abortions as a good Catholic?
Yeah.
Good point. I think that's been, that's been brought up a lot. But, you know, in here.
Is she Catholic or Catholic light? That's what I call the other group. That's what I call
Catholic
them.
Light. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they are. All right, thanks, Bob, for the phone call.
Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Take care, Bob.
Let's go to Levi, who joins us from Goose Island. Good morning, Levi.
Hey, good morning, guys. Okay, two things, actually, real quick. Number one, if this was a WWE SmackDown, Trump would even win that, too. If you remember, he used to be all over that lame SmackDown.
If you smell what the Trump is fucking.
Number two, these people keep talking about this is about... Number one, she's running out of Polydent. She needs more Polydent. And she's talking about the Constitution, and everyone's a constitutional scholar, yet all they try to do is censor free speech and take away your guns, which is completely unconstitutional.
you ain't taking away my guns nor my bow and arrow or my crossbow or anything else.
Well, they make so much. Thanks, Levi.
Right. More Polydent.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Why don't they just get implants? Oh. I think Trump has dentures.
Yeah.
I think Biden might have had dentures, but now he has... Have you seen Hunter Biden's new teeth, by the way?
I haven't.
He had cracked teeth.
Oh, okay.
And now he's got all new teeth.
Does he look good?
It looks a lot better.
All right.
Yeah, looks a lot better. You got to do something.
You're making $56,000 a month. You got to be able to do whatever you want.
Not even living in Ukraine. You don't even speak Russian. I mean,
it would take a hell of a lot more than $56,000 a month for me to live in Ukraine.
But you know what? He's claiming that he's broke, though, right now, because the baby mama in Alabama, they're trying to subpoena his financial records for the past 5 years.
Right.
And he said that all the money has gone to his family.
Okay.
To his wife and three kids that they have.
Well, the baby mom is going to get something. There's a payday coming there.
Yeah.
Hard to hide when your lawyers sit down and they do the discovery. It's kind of hard to say, you know what? I was watching the news and I hear you got this gig from Ukraine
that you had for a few years.
All I need is 60% of that.
Well, he wants her to pay, child support and $11,000 in her attorney fees, which shouldn't be a problem because he has three attorneys and she has one.
$11,000 in attorney fees? That's it? That's
well, it's in Alabama.
Yeah, right. So hell, I could be an attorney in Alabama.
Let's go to Sam, who joins us from River West. Good morning, Sam.
Yes. She made a comment a little while ago on your show that she prays for the president because he's the president of the United States. But last week, the Speaker of the House went on national TV and called Donald Trump an imposter. So she's a liar.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, I mean, if she's proud of the Dreamers, she said in that soundbite, maybe she can pray for Dreamers and imposters.
Exactly.
I don't know.
James joins us from Westmont. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Glad you're feeling better. Good morning, Ramblin' Ray.
Ray, Ramblin' Ray. It's a question
Stevens.
Mark at the end of that. That's cool.
You are? Ron Burgundy?
Yeah.
How are you, man?
Sorry. Anyway, I just find it funny, like, she calls herself a Catholic. Yeah, she's for abortion. She's for, take away people's, like, God-given rights and, making people want to do things they don't want to do. So it's like, why is she calling herself a Catholic, claiming she's praying for a president? And as a Catholic myself, as you may know, Amy,
yes,
it's very, very disturbing to hear people claim they're Catholic, and yet they want to, push, their pro-abortion agenda. I don't know. So it's real crazy. It's really upsetting. And I am I'm also very offended by your dentures. I don't know why, but it's really crazy there.
So what do you do, Amy? Do you get together with listeners and discuss your religion? Is that how that works?
No, I'm sure I met him at an event once and he talked to me. But
I didn't know if you went to Mass together. Or?
No, I'm Episcopalian.
Okay.
I'm really Catholic light.
Right.
So somebody texted in, what kind of practicing devout Catholic is pro-abortion? Pelosi lies through her false teeth. Ooh,
better. Well,
Tom joins us now from lovely Deer Park. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey, well, good morning. Thanks. I'll tackle this when she's coming from the Catholic angle, from someone that supports abortion. It's kind of hard for her to say that, but but I'll stake it for myself. You know, hate destroys the vessel that it's in, and that's kind of Catholic teaching. And when you hear commentary, I think it was Rosen from Sinclair, and whether it's Sinclair or Salem or Fox or OAN, the people in the Trump media tend to think that it's hatred, when in fact it's opprobrium for Trump and Trumpism. So I think that I know that he asked the question. He didn't accuse her of it, so she got mixed up on that. But for those of us that are never Trumpers and Catholics, it's more of an opprobrium thing and not hatred.
All right. Thanks, Tom, for the phone call.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro text line, or answer line. We're talking about Nancy Pelosi and how hate has no home here in her heart because she's Catholic. Let's go to Chris, who joins us from Plainfield. Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to call about this situation in which, you know, conservatives are extremely upset over abortion being allowed in this country, I assume because it is violating the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But there's really a whole lot of hypocrisy in conservatives in the sense that, you know, Christians will hate liberals extensively through, you know, decades of hate-filled propaganda and lies being spread about them. They don't care if it's suiting their cause, and their cause is essentially warped a little bit, because even Jesus said in the Bible, anyone who hates their fellow man or human is guilty of violating the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, in their heart. And conservatives have lost their way a lot of and a lot of that aspect with the amount of hate that is spread out.
Chris, let's go to our biblical scholar, Ray Stevens.
I try every day, you know, because I try every day to not be that person anymore. Because if you hold that in your heart, it just ruins, you know, right, the person you're trying to become. And don't get me wrong, I'm you know, I went to church a lot more as a young man than I do now, and I'm raised Catholic, but you know, the woman that I date has me going to a crazy Christian church. But
with a rock band?
Well, no, but I, you know, as a matter of fact, yes, there is a band there. But
that's all right.
You know, if you really just to try to be a better person, try to hate a little bit less, your life gets a little bit better.
And I'm always around little kids because I coach. That came out wrong. I coach a lot of young ladies, young girls, and they'll say, oh, I hate this, I hate that. And I said, no, don't say hate. You don't understand that person. Yeah, yeah. You don't hate that.
I hate the Packers.
You don't know them to hate them. No, you don't understand the Packers.
I don't want to understand the Packers.
Oh, look who's on the line. Mike from the North Side. Hello, Mike.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ramblin' Ray. Great to hear you on the radio again.
How are you, brother?
Pretty good, pretty good. I just want to say, now, a couple callers ago, Tom from Deer Park says a lot of stupid things, but today has got to be the top one.
Why?
I mean, come on. There is no way you could be a Catholic and a never-Trumper. Trump is standing up for innocent life. Now, I'm going to point out two hypocrisies about the liberals. First, they say it's about a woman's right to choose. But if that woman chooses to have the baby and then chooses, hey, my public school isn't good enough, pay for a Catholic school, then they pull out the old separation of church and state card, which is a lie, because the Catholic Church provides more health care to the poor in the Chicago area than everybody else combined. The Catholic and Lutheran hospitals provide more health care to the poor, and the government pays for it. Now, why will the government pay to birth a child, to kill a child, or to heal a child, but they won't pay to educate a child? Two reasons. Because they're trying to give money to their two favorite groups. The Democratic Party loves abortion doctors and union teachers. It's all about the money. It's not about the children. And Trump, no matter how bad he is or how imperfect he is, he's the guy standing up. When he was younger, he was in favor of abortion.
Yes, he was.
And the Lord got a hold of him and changed him, and he's putting judges on the court who are against it. And Amy, don't ever say an Episcopalian is a like Catholic anything. You're not even a like Christian.
Come on.
You know this.
Thanks, Mike, for the phone call.
You know all this religious.
Be
talk,
nice.
We start delving into these things, I get scared. But let me ask you this: talking about healthcare, since I am here for the day, does that mean I'm on your health plan here? Because
yeah.
It's not cheap out there.
And
to
you're
get
getting
healthcare
an appendectomy in the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, great.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Let freedom ring this afternoon at 2 with Sean Hannity on AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, yeah, here in my car. Who sings this song? In cars.
I remember the song. Who is it? Is it...
Justin
Hubbard. Let me tell you. Here it is. It's Luke Bryan.
No.
Luke Combs?
Gary Newman.
George Strait?
Gary Newman. Amy Jacobson here. That voice belongs to the one, the only, Ramblin' Ray, who's filling in today for Dan Prof. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, it's good to be here. I was I just spent the last part of the week up in northern Wisconsin shooting guns, driving my tractor, running my chainsaw, so it's good to sit somewhere with regular, normal people.
And you said you're on a snowmobile team? Or you're captain?
I race snowmobiles. And okay. My
is
crew
that
chief,
lucrative? I mean, is it?
No, no.
Oh, you just get trophies?
I won the Eagle River World Championship in 2013.
Really?
And I think it cost me $30,000 to win a $15 trophy. But the fun thing is that my crew chief is, I raced with Goodwin Performance out of Zion, Illinois.
Okay.
And then my crew chief is TJ Patrick, Danica Patrick's dad.
Real quick, is she still dating Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Really? That's not just for show?
No, they're crazy in love, and I had a chance to go when Queen was in town. Boy, I probably shouldn't say this on this station.
Okay.
I went and I saw Queen with Adam Lambert.
That's great.
Adam Lambert, you saw Adam Lambert? You're the devil.
It's all right.
He was fantastic. But
isn't
I went
from Mount Prospect.
I don't,
Adam Lambert? No, no.
No, that was Dwayne, Lee DeWise.
Oh, yeah.
So I was there, and Danica was there, and she talks glowingly about Aaron, and I think I'm like, well, good, get him to retire.
Really? Oh, yeah, because you don't like hate the Packers. No, you just don't understand them.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I got to look into my Christian soul and not use the word hate anymore.
Oh, that's right. Well, if you're an Illinoisan, we're getting fleeced again, guys, because starting January 1st, there's double taxation. And to explain all that is our good friend, Paul Bryan, who has, ready for his title?
He's got the best voice in the world.
Freelancer journalist, industry analyst, host of his turn, her turn automotive series and the automotive toast of Good Morning Beijing.
This guy is such a well-traveled guy. I know Paul, and he's a lovely man and very smart, and he's going to tell us why if you're going to buy a new car, do it now.
Or trade in. Yeah, it's this crazy thing, and can we stop this from happening? First of all, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning.
Good
How
morning.
Are you both?
So what is going
Rabbi
to...
Rabbi Stevens, it's good to hear you.
Yeah, what is going to happen on January 1st?
Well, it seems like we've fallen once again to the screw you and you can't do anything about it mentality that's been going on in Springfield. Well, we got to re-rack a little bit and set the table. Previously, when you have traded in your automobile, you pay the tax on the difference between the value of your new car and what you traded in. Let's say you're buying a $50,000 car, your trade-in is worth $25,000. You're only taxed on $25,000 because you already paid the tax on
right when I bought the car.
You own that. Well, Mr. Madigan, everybody else in our governor who has never met a tax he didn't like, decided, you know what? Why don't we tax everything? And so they gave a $10,000 credit on the thing, but you're going to have the pleasure now in Illinois of paying tax on everything, including what you've already paid tax on when you purchased your car. So it's a pretty significant jump in the amount of tax, because you've got 6.5% roughly state tax plus the local tax and everything. It could be, you know, in the neighborhood on an average vehicle of $35,000. You're going to get to pay about an extra $1,000 on your deal. All for the greater honor and glory of the state of Illinois.
Well, they're robbing us.
Let me ask you this, Paul. You know, for those of us that like to smoke and buy cheap gas, well, you get in your car and you go to Indiana. But here, my question is, if you go to Wisconsin, if you go to Indiana, you go to Iowa, you go somewhere else to buy a car, I would imagine that they probably get to you when you go to buy your new license plates or your registration, correct?
Yeah, and you'll get the same thing here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you can.
You're not going to get around it.
You can't do an end around and go to Milwaukee and buy one or Indiana.
All right. So if I took my used minivan, I wanted to trade it in and get a new car, going to Indiana, Wisconsin, or Iowa will not help me at all.
No, I'm sorry. Well, you know where you might be able to do an end around on this is that rather than trading your car in, a lot of people might say, well, hell, you know, maybe the thing I ought to do is go ahead and sell my trade-in privately. And you can monkey with the numbers there. Do you know there's about 850,000 used car sales in the state of Illinois every year if privately sold? So you could take that money and just walk in and pay the tax when you buy your new car. So, and you don't have to bring any kind of deep documentation when you say to Jesse White, because it's a graduated scale. When you buy your license plate, you don't have to say, well, here's my car, it was worth X amount. You can claim that it was worth less money and pay the lower rate on tax than if you do this at your dealer. Now, the dealers are obviously screaming about this as well, as rightfully they should, but even louder than them should be the taxpayers.
But it's like we have Stockholm syndrome. We just keep getting beaten and beaten and beaten, and nobody cares. This is another fleecing of Illinoisans, don't you think?
Well, I mean, you know, think of the hits that car drivers and car owners have taken in Illinois here recently. You've got a motor tax, a fuel tax, rather, increase that doubled. Registration fees when you get your license plates, those went up 50%. Finally, they got around to taxing electric vehicles, but that's such a small part of the equation, it really doesn't matter. But you've got that, now you're going to get a tax on parking garages. If you're on wheels in Illinois, you're getting hit.
Let me ask you this. Paul, you talk about selling a car. We live in a society that's getting so afraid to ever go outside their home anymore. Everything gets done on a computer. The art of the deal of going to a car dealer is starting to be lost on dinosaurs.
Oh, that's
like
right.
Us.
They deliver the
right,
car to you.
You can go to Carvana, you can press a button, and a car will come out like a Snickers bar. people are afraid to have people come to their house. Man, I love selling stuff. I'm a junkie when it comes to flipping cars and snowmobiles and boats and things like that. For me, it's just fun. But
you live in Wisconsin. I mean,
no,
are you selling?
I live in Batavia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I live in Batavia. I have a house in Wisconsin where I'm free to go, you know, do all the crazy things I like to do and not get caught. The only other, but Paul, is that realistic that people will sell their cars anymore? Because I know people are just, they're afraid to have a stranger show up at their door.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there is safety in going to a place of business where that's what they do, and they're licensed, and they've got people who do that. So I understand that, and yet at the same time, you take a look at the buying services that are out there right now. Do you know that Costco is now the second largest retailer of automobiles in the United States?
No.
I had never heard
that before.
Where
I get my paper towels.
Or you can get a casket.
I just bought mine yesterday.
No, I don't want to go to Costco to buy a car. I want to go to Friendly Ford and Roselle. I want to deal with the guys. I want to talk value. I want to go drive my F-350 diesel, and I want to feel it and smell it.
Well, and you can still kind of do that, but it's no mistake that when you pull into any Costco, you're going to see a couple of new cars that are parked out there on display, and they really push this. And it's an outside company that handles it for Costco. And I've been out to visit them in San Diego and talked with them, and it knocked me down when they told me they were the second largest retailer of cars. But they are. Now, that deal is handled through a dealer. It's delivered through a dealer. But you're right, Ray. It's kind of like Carvana, or as you mentioned, there are places out there because people generally don't like to bargain. You know, they don't like the process of it, And with services like that, they're able to go ahead and do it. And here's the price and this and that. Now, you can mess around with the trade-in value, and there's going to be negotiation on the trade-in value of your automobile. But now the state has said, you know what, that looks pretty tasty.
Well, with all this, with all this, these new taxes, Paul, you go.
I was going to say, they're looking for every avenue that they possibly can to find a new revenue stream. And when they said, well, we can take away this tax credit, and they snookered this thing in at the 11th hour as well. I mean, this thing came in at the end of the last legislative session with about 24 hours.
What is the collective stupidity of the average citizen in Illinois when these people tell you that they're going to tax you? They say it to your face. You somehow they get voted into the office. But I will go through my day today, and there's not one of my friends that'll say, I didn't vote for the guy. So you tell me how he got into office.
I know.
And, Paul, you reached out to your legislator, right?
I did. I reached out to Deb Conroy, who is my state rep, and I got crickets in return. It's just so indicative of what's going on.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yep.
They really don't care.
So,
because they're in control.
Yeah.
Here's one. Let me run this quick one by you. This one is one I want everybody to watch out for. If you're going north on 294 out of the TUI toll booth, you'll hit the toll booth and it'll ding your iPass. And then a little bit less than a mile north of there is another whole infrastructure that has those same kind of readers that when you go through a toll booth.
Right.
Now, you don't have to be Fellini to figure out the movie of what's going on here. It's got a big sign up there that says no toll taken.
Right.
But somewhere in Springfield, there's some pencil neck geek sitting down there with a calculator. And they are probably looking, and I've asked the state about this multiple times, and I can't get a straight answer what they're looking for. But it's a simple time-speed distance calculation to say, okay, you hit the TUI toll at this time precisely by the second, and then you went through this other one at this time precisely at the second.
Keeping track of you.
Exactly. Yeah. You know exactly
speed
how
camera.
Fast they were going.
Oh, so then
and
you
now
think
Spring
not only
going to get tickets?
Yeah, they could generate a speeding ticket and say, good morning, Rabbi Steve.
You know what? Not only should you go the speed limit and be careful around those cameras, but you better damn well make sure that that woman sitting next to you is not somebody else's wife, because they'll get you on that, too.
You know what? That's what happened in Italy. When I was working for Alfa Romeo in Italy, they were all in arms about this because they had exactly what you're talking about. They had photo cameras up there, and all of a sudden some of the legislators started showing up with Sophia Loren in their car when it was supposed to be, And all of a sudden, that went away.
All right. Well, before we let you go, I want to ask you one more question. Do you think it's more economically sound to lease a car or to buy a car?
Well, it depends on individual circumstances. I've never been a huge fan of owning a depreciating asset, and a car is that. I mean, as soon as you purchase a car, it's going to be going down in value. Having said that, I own my car, and I don't know. You really have to talk to your financial advisor as to how it's best. However, I will say that finally, after it seemed like eons, for a long time, the way that leases were taxed in Illinois changed. I think it's like 2 years ago now. It might be three at this point, where we were one of 48. We were only one of two states. It was Illinois and Texas, where you were taxed on the entire cost of the vehicle rather than on the lease payment.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were finally able to go ahead and get that changed to where you are simply taxed on the lease payment rather than the overall cost. And on a $30,000 car, it was about a $35 per month savings on that. So leasing has become more affordable in Illinois than it used to be. And it's certainly a great option for people to understand. But when you go to your dealer and you talk to him, say, look, you know, I'm not sure which way I want to go on this thing, and you run the numbers on that, I'm sure they're going to be happy to do that for you. Because to them, they don't care. It's a sold unit.
Well, buddy, we appreciate your time. Amy, I got to tell you real quick, Paul, you know, he mentions Alfa Romeo. My best Gina wants to buy an Alfa Romeo because she went to Italy and she's Italian, and now she needs one. And we consulted Paul on what she should do. And since Paul worked for Alfa Romeo, now Paul is more sexy and handsome than I am because of that.
Still getting the girls, aren't you, Paul? All right, Paul Bryan, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Freelance journalist.
Glad you're feeling better, too.
Thank you, dear. Industry analyst, host of His Turn, Her Turn automotive series, and automotive toast of Good Morning Beijing. He's on all the time on Good Morning Beijing.
And I think this is where we say, ciao, Bella.
Yeah, ciao, Bella. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning, Amy Jacobson here, Ramblin' Ray, and for Dan Proft, or Ray Stevens, excuse me. You got to tell me which one to go with.
Say Ray. It's all good. Okay. And everybody knows me. I'm from West Chicago, for God's
sake. That's right. Yeah. The big bad town of West Chicago.
I worked in country radio in Chicago for a long time. I did some talk radio down the dial a little bit for a few years, and now here I am looking for my next gig.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
Yes. A lot of people are here. At 8 o'clock, remember Wayne Mesmer?
Oh, sure.
He's going to be here with an 8-piece orchestra.
Oh,
they're going to be performing.
So we'll just give him the segment. We can go have coffee. I know how you radio people work.
That's something new here for AM 560. And we have some listeners who won a silent auction who are here as well from Hersey High School.
$25 went to a good cause.
Yeah, well, I think we raised a little bit more money than that. But let's focus on impeachment because we're moving into the next phase of impeachment. The hearing's over. But yesterday, Nancy Pelosi made her profound statement.
Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
And everybody was a little on edge yesterday because then she had her little spat with James Rosen when he asked her, hey, do you hate the president?
I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
And then after that, Kellyanne Conway was interviewed. She took issue with Stanford law professor Pamela Karlan, who made news for bringing Barron up during the House Judiciary Committee hearings.
The Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Barron, he can't make him a Barron.
And a lot of people were upset about that.
That was a well-placed comment. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it, but she knew.
She rehearsed that.
She did.
For sure.
And the thing is that, you know, I'm a little taken aback by the response from the crowd when they start laughing at that. It's like, you know, I don't care if you're the Clintons, if you're the Bushes, if you're the Trumps, you keep kids out of it, period.
And Melania took to Twitter to say the same, but then Kellyanne Conway yesterday, a little unnerved. I mean, everybody was out of their minds, I think, yesterday. And
people are nervous. It's the holidays. There's a lot of pressure. Jobs are getting cut.
Take a little listen to this, Ray.
If you, ladies and gentlemen, if you went to work today to manicure nails, to manicure lawn, if you went to work with a jackhammer or a welding machine or mechanics tools or a carpentry belt and not 3 degrees from Yale, that woman yesterday looks her nose down at you. She thinks that you are less than her, and I've had it. Do you know why that man ran for president in the first place, for the forgotten man, forgotten woman? You know why I'm still here at the White House? For you. For people who are looked down upon by people with 3 Yale law degrees, had the audacity to say that liberals like to cluster together and live together. Well, conservatives can't even stand to be together. That's why they're scattered. Well, who the hell are you, lady,
that was Pamela
to look down at half of the country?
That's a good...
You know, that is a great point. Yeah, I live a lot of my life. You see, right now, just as I'm in kind of a transition, I have a chance to be in the north land of Wisconsin. I mean, in the middle of nowhere. I'm out on tractors. I'm working with people, and I'm having fun. And it's the segment of America that gets forgotten. And in the confines of these big cities where people tend to lean left, there's a whole faction of people out there that are hardworking men and women of America that would walk through a fire for Donald Trump. Now, I'm sure that if they...
President Trump.
President Trump. If they saw President Trump in a bar, they'd probably hate the guy. But they're doing and people that are working right now, that's what people forget. People are working. The economy's good. And I think that the country, you know, without this impeachment crap, is in pretty good shape.
Well, the next phase of the impeachment, let's find out what is next as we welcome Elizabeth Harrington. She's RNC national spokesperson. Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good. So what's on tap? Where do we go from here?
Well, Jerry Nadler has decided to schedule the next hearing for Monday, which is also, I'm sure it's just a coincidence, the same day that the FISA abuse report is coming out. But we're going to do another round of hearings, but of course Republicans don't get any say, and we won't really know until 24 hours before what he even has planned, which is just par for the course in this rigged process that we've seen. But I must say that Kellyanne Conway clip, she really nailed it yesterday, because what are we talking about here? We're talking about Democrats and their refusal to accept what happened in 2016. What happened in 2016? All those people that Kellyanne mentioned, all those people, forgotten men and women, voted for the guy that the media and the Democrats didn't want to win, and didn't accept that he won, and couldn't believe it and never saw it coming. And now we're still living through this 3 years later just because they couldn't look in the mirror and figure out why it is they left so many millions of people behind who were sick and tired of elites in Washington.
And the White House has a 5 p.m. deadline today to decide whether or not to participate. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't think they'll participate in the House process at all, because it's been completely unfair. There's been no due process whatsoever. The president hasn't had a right to an attorney present. We haven't had a right to subpoena records. Adam Schiff subpoenaing records of his own colleagues on the committee, and yet Republicans aren't even allowed to call witnesses. So it's been a completely rigged process. I don't think we'll participate in the House.
Where does the court of public opinion finally get a say in any of this? Because if you look at this Professor Carlin and the things that she's done in her past, and even post-election, she made a comment somewhere to the she was walking somewhere, and she couldn't even be on the same sidewalk as a Trump hotel. Now, that would make me think that there's nothing but visceral dislike for this man in general from her.
Exactly. We didn't need a bunch of angry Democrats who've been, you know, upset about his election since November 9th to scream at us and tell us why they don't like the way we voted. That's all we saw from these quote-unquote constitutional scholars. Another professor said he had to hold therapy sessions after Hillary Clinton lost. This is not a serious proceeding. And you notice the Democrats were unable to ask Jonathan Turley, who is not a supporter of President Trump, barely a single question. If their case is so ironclad, which clearly it's not, certainly it should be able to withstand the scrutiny of someone who's not even a Trump supporter, and yet they couldn't do it. They couldn't ask him a single question based on the Constitution and why their case is strong, because it's not. They have no case.
So Democratic House members are deciding if the articles of impeachment should be limited to the president's dealings with Ukraine or broaden it out to include, quote, a pattern of obstruction that takes into account the findings from the Mueller report. What exactly does that mean?
That means that they're so desperate and they don't have anything. If they're expanding it out to something that's been completely debunked, to the Russia collusion hoax, something that we lived with for over 2 years, cost us $32 million, which the president, by the way, allowed everyone to testify for hours on end, people's lives upended, seven-figure legal bills. They handed over 1.4 million pages of documents, 500 search warrants, 500 subpoenas, all of these witnesses. The president completely complied, and they are calling him. They're going to claim again that was obstruction. It's completely absurd on its face. But it shows you, going back to, when is public opinion going to get back to it? That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of us getting to vote again like we did last time. Representative Veronica Escobar, Democrat in the Judiciary Committee, said last night on CNN, if we wait for an election to settle this, then we will have waited too long. She's saying our votes do not matter, and we cannot wait to let the people decide who our president is, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Am I the only one in the world, as just a regular, everyday American, that is concerned with where the country is heading right now? Because if they, you know, when you make a comment like that, we can't wait for an election. Basically, you're telling people that their voices, their election, their ballots didn't matter. Man, I'm fearful of what might happen to this country should that happen.
Absolutely, and especially if we just impeach presidents because we're upset about the election and we're upset about him and we don't like him. I mean, that's the rationale. That's the reasoning. And you didn't have any evidence. You didn't have any facts whatsoever. They can't name a crime. They can't name an impeachable offense. That's why they're trying to resurrect the debunked Russia collusion hoax. It is really, really troubling to think that the Democrats would go forward with this so fast, with no evidence, with no case. What does that do to precedent? What does that do to future presidents? And that's what this is all about. It has been so unfair what President Trump has had to deal with. For before he was even elected, they were spying on his campaign. And ever since, they've been leaking, they've been smearing, they've been spinning, and trying to sabotage his administration. And look, they can't stop him. He's gotten tremendous results. He's gotten his agenda put forward. We've got a great economy. And I think that's why they're doing this reluctantly, but they have to, because they have no idea how to beat President Trump at the ballot box.
All right, so we have 31 Democrats that sit in Trump 1 districts and 13 in Romney McCain Trump 1 districts. Do you think Democrats are going to want to walk the plank knowing that Donald Trump's going to be acquitted in the Senate trial a few weeks later? Do you see
absolutely
any of them flipping?
Not, and I think that's why... I think that's why you see Nancy Pelosi kind of try and make up the rules as she goes along, because these so-called moderates who ran in 2018, who claimed we wanted to reach across the aisle, we're not about impeaching the president, and we want to get things done in Washington. Well, what have they done? And now they're going to have to vote on something so baseless with no evidence. We're less than a year out before an election. And, I mean, they're going to be up next year in November, and what are they going to tell their constituents? They're already hearing from them. People are so fed up with this. Get something done. Now we have 5 days left, and you're wasting our time on this. You're not going to bring USMCA to the floor. What are they going to tell their constituents? And that's why I think this has been such a mess and so disorganized, not only because the Democrats don't have a case and are trying to manufacture one, but they also don't have the support even within their own caucus, and they shouldn't, because there is nothing there.
You know, I think what gets lost in all of this, and I think when you see these constitutional scholars, as people will say, talking down to Americans, I just go back to everyday hardworking men and women. You go to the housing sector. You know, in certain states, there's laborers getting paid $100 an hour because nobody can fill the jobs.
Right.
You can't get a construction worker to show up at your house because there are too many jobs. And I think, you know, when you start messing around with the system that's put this country back in order, I think that's when your everyday Americans are going to say, all right, enough.
Absolutely. And you can see it. There's two different, you know, they say it's a split screen. Oh, the president's over in NATO leading on the world stage, getting our allies to pay more. Oh, and Washington's fixated on impeachment. You know what the other split screen is? The Beltway delusions and obsessions with trying to damage this president, and the real world, where we have a million more job openings than unemployed people in this country, where we have the best economy in 50 years, where we have wages rising for the lowest income workers among us. And that's amazing. And it is an amazing economy. It's a robust economy. And that's what the Democrats don't want to talk about. But people feel it. They see a difference. They know what's going on. And that's why our fundraising's through the roof. That's why people are so energized and outraged, because here they see finally a president came in from the outside, made a lot of promises, and he's following through on them. Yeah. And he's getting this economy to work for everybody. And you see somebody that's putting the country first, not political opposition trying to dig up dirt on rivals. That's what they've been doing this entire time. They've been investigating a man, not a crime. And that's what people are so fed up with. Washington has been so rigged and so with their unprecedented obstruction and resistance. And this is what we voted against in 2016. And we're going to do it again in 2020.
All right. Thanks so much. Elizabeth Harrington, always a pleasure. And we'll have you back soon.
Thanks for having me.
And Elizabeth Harrington, RNC national spokesperson, who joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
All right, we have some special guests in the studio. As you may or may not know, besides being a jock and taking auto shop in high school,
it's Wang Chung. Wang Chung is in the studio.
No, it's not. I was in show choir. Choir for 4 years and show choir, and I'm telling you that helped me in every aspect of my life. It helped me with radio. It helped me with TV. I was a television reporter for 18 years because you had to learn how to communicate through your eyes and to really sell the song and believe in yourself, because it's hard performing when you're, you know, a young kid. And we are blessed to have five freshmen from John Hersey High School's choir group here in the studio. We have Emma. Say hi, Emma.
Hi.
You can be a little louder. Project.
Said, she said,
hello.
You're supposed to say hi, Emma.
Jake and Jacob, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
So what do you guys like most about choir so far? I mean, I know you're fresh into it because you're freshmen, but we've got a semester down. What do you think?
Well, what I really like about it is how we can all, you know, connect with each other and how we all have similar interests, such as performing or singing or expressing ourselves.
You know what I like about the choirs, at least my kids go to school in Batavia, and I always have to buy like the items they're selling for the fundraisers.
Yeah.
Are you selling anything to raise money for choir? No? We have to sell. I have to buy like butter braids and pastries for my. Yeah.
We love the cookie dough.
Yeah, oh, there you see. Yeah. See, you tell me that you're not selling Shake anything, knows. And then right by the time they leave, I'm going to have 10 pounds of cookie dough.
Well, we had our fall choir gala last month. And I emceed it. I've been emceeing it for, I think, 9 years now.
See, now you're just bragging.
Well, no, because I love it. And it's the fast. I emcee a lot of events, but this one is my absolute favorite because I love watching everyone perform. And I love seeing my old friends. And I love your choir director, Sarah. Jake, tell me about her.
She's great. I love learning music with her. She's a great teacher. Makes it easy and it's fun.
What about you, Jacob?
Well, personally, I really don't know her.
Okay.
Jacob, thanks for your participation. That helps us out.
The candor's great. I love it.
You know, they just the other night they just had the big concert. I think they call it the Crystals concert at my daughter's school, but she didn't make it. You know why? Cuz she had front row tickets to the Jonas Brothers.
Oh. Wow.
So she got an excuse. Yeah.
So would you guys miss a choir concert to be in first row for the Jonas Brothers?
No,
there
don't,
you go.
Don't,
that's
don't
my Hersey Husky right there.
It's a pretty hard decision.
Pardon?
It's a pretty hard decision.
Yeah.
That a boy. That's it my is. Jacob.
What about you, Jake?
You know, we're going to go to the choir concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our Hersey Huskies right there. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. It was honestly, it's been great. And you have a great mom here. Did you guys listen to the show in the morning? Sure you do.
Yeah. We're
going
to start.
There you go.
They were just telling me.
Today because they're on it.
So they just said, well, I didn't know Dan Prof was so handsome. And I said, well, I'll just remember him as me.
Yes. All right.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
James Rosen, nationally syndicated investigative reporter, but also one-man show.
There's a certain fondness for my De Niro. You give me all these answers, but you don't give me the right answers. I swear to God, I'm going to kill somebody.
That's
You're very
pretty good.
Completely.
Brilliant.
On AM 560.
You're very smart, Joey. You give me all these answers, but you ain't give me the right answer.
The Answer.
It's that time of year again, cold and snowy here in Chicago, but warm and sunny in Huatuco, Mexico.
Oh, that's where we're going to be heading with Apple Vacations. This is so cool.
Wait, you're going?
I guess because I'm here for a day and I'm reading this copy that I'm not being compensated for, that I can invite you to come along March 28th through April 4th. You know, you've been so tired of the winter by then. Staying at the Secrets Resort. Now that's just chock full of fun right there.
The Secrets Huatuco Resort and Spa, honestly, my favorite place in the world. And I've been all over the world. Okay. I've been there three times.
See,
they have the most amazing cheeseburgers I've ever had. And I'm not a foodie. Uh-huh. And then one year I didn't stay there, but I snuck in there to eat the cheeseburgers. I came in via boat and pretended like I was staying there and had the cheeseburger, and then
see,
I left.
I would think that women generally hate you because you're so, you know, you're so thin and you can just go eat cheeseburgers.
Not that thin. Things are shifting, man. I'm getting old. But hey, anyway, it's all-inclusive resort located on the Cañejos Bay. Every room at the resort has an ocean view. That's what I love about it. Not one room is better than the other. Everything's the same. You can sit in your bathtub, take a shower, and look at the beautiful bay. 7 gourmet restaurants.
Well, you can sit in your bathtub and take a shower?
You can sit in your bathtub or take a shower. Okay. From both locations, you can see the ocean while you're in it. The way they appointed these rooms, it's so cool.
If you want more information, then you can book your trip by visiting 560theanswer.com/passport. Sounds like a lot of fun. I'll be there. It's going to be a good
time. In spirit, right. Every year the trip gets bigger and better, and we have couples, Ray, that have returned every single year to vacation with Dan and Amy. Sorry, Ray. So join us this year. And the price that Apple Vacations has secured for this trip is incredible and exclusive only to us, but it is only available for a limited time. Don't miss out. Instead of buying a Christmas gift for your girlfriend or your wife or for both, take them to Mexico with us.
Take them both to Mexico. Now that'll be a trip worth remembering.
Don't miss out. Enjoy a week in Huatuco, Mexico with us. 560theanswer.com/passport. Speaking of people who have a wife and a girlfriend.
Yeah, we call that if you want to take your wife and a girlfriend, they call that. And this is, don't shoot the messenger. They call that the Eddie Johnson special.
Hey!
That's what's in the copy.
Well, we're learning new information about Eddie Johnson's lady friend. She was interviewed, by the way, by the Inspector General's office. And she acknowledged drinking with Johnson for hours before Johnson was found slumped over in his SUV. But she also said that, quote, "We're just friends." Now, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, it has been leaked from the Inspector General's office that they have three hours of them making out.
Okay.
At a bar, okay. Series Cafe, where I'm getting everybody gift certificates for Christmas, making out there 3 hours and drinking rum and Coke. Now, my source told me that they were at Villari before with a group of friends. And they're having gin and tonics there. And then they moved to Ceres Cafe, where it was just those two.
Well, you always
and she's on his security detail. And he brought her up to be on his security detail in 2016.
All right. So this is where the impropriety at work is going to come into play.
We have learned even more information. Are we ready for this?
They
get busted. He gets busted sleeping, you know, in his car, taking a little whiskey nap or rum nap. As I mentioned, he appointed her in 2016 to be on his security detail, mostly his driver. And then when all of this happened and Johnson came out and said, you know, I fell asleep because I was taking different high blood pressure medicine.
Plus, I'm a diabetic. I was
2 days after that.
Yeah.
He moved her from the security detail to the Bureau of Technical Services.
Okay.
So then he got her off of his detail. Now,
Come on.
Protecting Eddie
Johnson. Are those kids gone?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why I didn't want them in here when we were doing this segment. So the transfer by Johnson could be in violation of city policy, which prohibits employment decisions from being made based on an employee's submission to or rejection of a supervisor's sexual advances. Does that make sense? So it's one more ripple in this fast-moving scandal, and eventually the video is going to come out. Who wants to see it? 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. So if he is in violation of the city policy, do we want him, you know, his pension revoked? Do we want him to incur a fine or possibly
how are they gonna revoke
a citation?
His pension?
Well, because you have to prove that you committed a crime while in office to revoke your pension.
So is the crime the sword affair or is the crime the
the drinking and driving, because that's a bit of an issue because now the two police officers who pulled him over are probably going to lose their jobs because they did not give him a breathalyzer. You see in the video, in the body cam video, he flashes his badge, talks to them briefly, like 20 seconds, and then he drives himself
home. I'm your boss. Get out of here.
I mean, really?
Well,
they asked him, are you okay? And then they realize it's him because they got a 911 call saying a man is slumped over SUV at a stop sign.
We know how that ends in Chicago if you're slumped over. You know, usually you don't come back from that.
So then Eddie Johnson, with his attorney, released a 1.5-page letter of, you know, it wasn't a lie. It was a lapse in judgment. Yeah. And at the end, he said, my plans for the weeks ahead will be to reconnect with my family.
Yeah. And pray to your God, because that's what you do. You always pray to the Jesus when something bad happens.
Enjoy the holiday season and improve my health. Because remember, he had a direct donor. His son gave him his kidney.
Right.
And you take anti-organ rejection medicine, and I know for a fact you cannot drink while you're on that. That's for a whole year you have to take it, and a lot of people continue to take it for the rest of their lives. And I think he's
abusing the kidney.
Well, his
organs seem to be working all right.
Hey-oh! I will always be a proud Chicagoan, and I love this city with all my heart. So in the future, I look forward to staying active and helping out in any way I can. God bless you all.
You know, just as a, you know, I feel bad for the guy.
I part of me does too, but then part of me, I just can't stand this men in power who abuse it. I mean, he was ripping on Jussie Smollett because Jussie Smollett lied to the people of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Well, Eddie Johnson, you lied to the people of Chicago, and you didn't go see President Trump speak at McCormick Place because you said he doesn't share
your
Chicago values.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Chicago values. Well, what are your values?
Well, you know, the thing is, and you know, Eddie's going to find this out as he goes on to reconnect with his family is, you know, Jesus.
Maybe they don't want to reconnect with him.
Yeah, Jesus will forgive, but a wife will not forget.
Oh, that's true. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Lori Lightfoot yesterday, she was at the snow preparedness press conference. You know, because to warn Chicago and say, get ready for the winter.
Well, it's always
and nobody
favorite,
cared about that.
It's my favorite time of year because this is when the snow ban comes around.
Yeah. Well, she responded to Eddie Johnson saying that he didn't lie to Chicagoans.
I read the Inspector General's reports and reviewed the underlying evidence and made a determination that I needed to make a change. And that's precisely what I did.
Okay, here's the soundbite.
But at this point, Superintendent Johnson is no longer the superintendent, no longer a member of the Chicago Police Department, and it's really time for us to move on.
Yeah, she didn't want to do the he said, she said, but we all know that he lied to her because he told her he was at dinner with friends, which he was earlier, but then he was for 3 hours drinking.
I wonder, there's people that think that by her using this to, you know, get him out of the way, and some people think prematurely, is that will this give her more leeway to hire somebody? There's people that think that there's going to be a new police chief for Chicago that comes from outside of Chicago, and that has people up in arms.
Well, do you think a police chief should come from within, you know, the ranks and file right now?
I think that, you know what you do? Take a guy working the beat in Inglewood, put him in there, because he knows how to work.
And just see what happens. Well, Eddie Johnson was plucked from pretty much obscurity, and Mayor Emanuel, he turned down all these other well-known police chiefs from around the country and gave him a chance. But I still I feel bad for him, but I'm still mad that he lied.
There's no way that in this day and age you are going to rise above what this seems to be. It just we're living in the Me Too movement. You screw up, you're going to be held accountable for it.
And the fact that he raised her to, you know, security detail, and then once there was some problems, he shifted her
in
another position.
I'm going to need to see pictures of her. I got to see what
this is
about.
I have a picture of her.
Okay.
Yeah, Channel 7 has her picture, her name. I don't care to say her name, but
well, you just remember, Amy, that when I got the call to, you know, to say, "Hey, would you like to come in and sit with Amy?"
Yeah.
I've been in the woods literally for 2 weeks. I haven't been watching, listening, tweeting, texting.
Wait, you
anything.
Haven't been watching the House Judiciary Committee?
I had it on for probably all of an hour on I want to say Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, if you're all caught up in all of this stuff, trip to the woods will do you good.
Marty in Naperville. Good morning, Marty.
Hey, listen, Eddie Johnson and this girl did nothing wrong. There's nothing illegal. The woman liked her Johnson. Play it simple. So.
It's too easy, man. We call that low-hanging fruit, Marty.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, pal.
Will. Will joins us from beautiful Niles. Hi, Will.
Hi. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, a funny show. Very good. Hey, I was just wondering if anyone's talking about the officer that was, Brass in Chicago that was getting Social Security checks from his dead mother. And he's just getting, it's ridiculous. But also about sleeping cops, that's everywhere. I mean, they slump over, you know, this is like good wake-up call for Chicago. And I'm sorry, but, you know, I love Chicago also. I heard you say the same. I love this city. I'm a little disappointed at how politics have just wasted, you know. But he'll get a pension for a lieutenant rank. But anyways, it's all wrong. You know, I think people slumped over. There was been many cops on TV that people take pictures of.
Oh, yeah, Dick Kay did that. And then Dick Kay did a story about officers sleeping on the job. Mm-hmm. And you know how they retaliated? There's a stop sign in front of NBC that nobody stops at. And they had a patrol officer there for 2 days giving everybody tickets. Jonas, Zito, I got a ticket, everyone.
Yeah,
like, what? They're like rolling through a stop sign. I'm like, but here's your ticket.
Yeah, pay it.
That's how they paid back. And that was in the, 91, I think it was.
City that works.
No, not 91, 97.
But the one that's been cashing checks, he's not.
Oh, yeah.
That's a crime. I mean, if we, well,
he's not going to lose his pension. I know. He's been cashing his mom's Social Security checks for 3 years.
His mom would have wanted it that way.
Oh, yeah. Thanks,
I mean,
Will.
Is that a crime? That's a crime.
That's
and
a crime.
Getting a,
and he should not get his pension. And then there's another commander who's been demoted to captain on the northwest side, I think Jefferson Park, who had patrolmen watch his disabled son.
And I would
and
just
that's,
like,
so he's been demoted. You know, Superintendent Johnson, just to finish this up, though, he was demoted to lieutenant, wasn't fired. He was fired mm-hmm. as superintendent. And then he retired 2 days ago officially, so he's done.
But by and large, just speaking on behalf of one Ramblin' Ray, I mean, by and large, you know, the men and women that protect us do a heck of a job.
They do.
And they deserve
better leadership, though.
It's always a shame when something like this happens, because now all of a sudden it puts the focus on the entire police department, and it shouldn't be that way. So for that, I say shame on you, Eddie, because your men and women deserve more.
And later in life, nobody wants to see you make out in a bar. I mean, nobody.
If you're nobody, over, if you're
that's
over
reserved
40.
For people like Justin's age.
Exactly.
That's why I said Justin. And Justin told us the other day, Justin, you don't make out with women at bars, right? Is that beneath you?
It's not beneath me. I mean, I'll do it if my girlfriend's like, hey, come give me some love, but.
That's today's phrase of pace. Hey, come give me some love.
All right, let's go to George and Moni. Good morning, George.
Hey, Amy, who's going to pay for the counselors for the rest of the people that had to endure that make-out section? Is that the taxpayer's expense?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of makes the guy with the buffalo wings, see his point.
Oh, my! Oh, see, now that we were having such a good time,
good morning,
and then somebody had
this.
To go and ruin it.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer.
I heard about this story yesterday, and I had to run to my computer because I wanted to Google it and see it for myself. Picture this. A banana with duct tape, just, you know, the OC, the original duct tape,
right,
the silver duct tape.
Used for ductwork.
Right. A banana duct tape to a wall sold for $120,000 at an art gallery in Miami.
See, these are the things that disturb me, is that, one, somebody has $120,000 to pay for a banana that's going to rot,
and they're going to take the wall with them?
Unemployment is at an all-time low, historic lows, and I still don't have a job.
So the piece was titled Comedian, and it's the brainchild of an Italian artist and prankster, Maurizio Catalan. Oh, I butchered his name.
No!
But he used a banana that he purchased from a Miami supermarket. They call that art. You stick duct tape on it and put it to the wall.
You know, I got to tell you.
And the worst part is another person paid $150,000 for the same thing. He was selling a bunch of the banana. Mm-hmm. So one went for $120,000. Another one went for $150,000.
It's an appealing art of work.
Hey!
Work of art.
Sorry. Did you get that? Yeah. Appealing. Well, he could have used that money to help those less fortunate this holiday season.
Nice time.
Because that's what we're doing here at AM 560 The Answer. Teaming up with Food for the Poor for a goal this year is to provide food for a year for 600 Venezuelan families that are living in Colombia. They take this horrible 9-hour trek to get to Colombia where they can have food and they can survive. And Food for the Poor has set up 11 feeding centers. But they serve 9,000 people a day. 9,000. So they need more money. They need donations to open up more feeding centers and shelters to help these people.
You want to find out where your money goes. I always look at Charity Navigator to find out where my money is going, and it's pretty efficient. 95% of all money raised will go to help folks like the people in Haiti. This campaign, a gift of just $300, really $25 a month, less than your coffee you're drinking right now that you just picked up at $5. We'll feed a Venezuelan family of four in Colombia for a year. Think about that. All these things that we take for granted, especially at this time of year, you can help somebody out for next to nothing.
So go to 560theanswer.com, search for the keyword food, or call 844-862-HOPE. But We want to tell you about our business benefactor program because it is filling up quickly. What that is, a one-time donation of $2,500. And with that, you'll feed eight families of four for a year. But also $2,500 tax deductible. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you 40 one-minute commercials, 40, that will air right here Monday through Friday on AM 560. The Answer. Call our sales manager, Anjanette, at 847-472-8951 and ask for the business benefactor program.
And also ask if Dan Prof will read those commercials for you free of charge for $2,500.
He can read them. I can read them. They could hire you to read them.
And we like to call it doing good in the hood. It really does go for a great cause. More details on the website and whatnot.
And 560theanswer.com/food.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. Ray Stevens filling in for Dan Proft.
You know, it's been a good day because, let's face it, you got your Chicago Bears going to the playoffs now. You've had in a special guest from Hershey. Now you've got a choir, an orchestra, a band here. It's like this. I come here and it gets fun.
Yes, the Anthony, ready? I was doing so well. Kavalkowski. Orchestra?
Kavalkowski
Orchestra with Wayne Mesmer, and they are having a benefit concert on Saturday, December 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Copernicus Center. You know where that is, 5216 West Lawrence Avenue. I've been there. It's a great venue, and it's really a great way to get into the Christmas spirit and just tell us about the show. You have to step up to the mic. There you go.
It is all about getting into the Christmas spirit, and those who've seen our show before say they have to come back every year because it puts them in the spirit of Christmas.
How did you hook up with Wayne Mesmer? Wayne, how did you get involved in this group?
I think I met Tony at a bar.
And that's the truth.
The first time.
It was a piano bar.
Yeah, piano
bar
up in Wisconsin. And we just started talking and kind of hit it off. And he has such a passion for music and a traditional, true Christmas show. You know, you just don't find these anymore.
Right.
And it's like, let's have a holiday. Now let's have a Christmas show.
Right.
You know, and it's different. It's full family entertainment, and it's just kind of warm and fuzzy from start to finish.
Because you can only see the Nutcracker so many times. That was our annual tradition. We'd see the Nutcracker, but I'd like more. I'd like to see more.
And we have fun with music, too. We have a lot of audience interaction. We have a snowball fight with the audience during Jingle Bells. And we've got scenes on the screens and little drummer boys that walk in. And
then you also have magicians, right? Robin Balster?
Correct. They're going to be in to do five tricks along with the music this year.
Now, I see you're holding a violin there. Where I'm from, I worked years at a country station in town. We would call that a fiddle. And you played something a little bit earlier. I was wondering if you could maybe just bring out just a little bit of that. Here you go. See that?
Wow.
One of the greatest Americans ever, Mr. Charlie Daniel, right?
Yes. All right, so what song would you like to play for us first?
We're going to do White Christmas.
All right, they're going to perform White Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Let's dim the lights.
Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, we can dim the lights.
Oh, it looks nice.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I'm in charge of the lights.
There you go. Right. Oh, there
we
go.
It's like we're at the venue right now. Hit it.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the tree
music on AM 560, The Answer.
That really got me in the Christmas mood. And Delilah, your voice is angelic. How long have you been singing and where have you been training?
I used to sing in high school and middle school. I've never really had any professional training, but I love to sing. I love singing with these guys. It's an honor and a privilege.
Well, they're lucky to have you.
Yeah. Oh, I have to ask because what high school did you go to?
I went to Munster High School in Munster, Indiana.
A reasonable place to live where taxes are low. That's all we care about here on AM 560. Do you guys have another one you want to play for us?
If you guys could take it right up to 9 o'clock, that's cool.
Well, we'd love to, but a couple of us got another gig to get to.
That's true, but I would love the bass player because my son gave up playing basketball to play the bass, so I can hear that in every song. And so when did you start playing the bass? Get him close to the microphone?
Yeah, jump right up on that.
Sorry about that. Probably 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
And was it your height that attracted you to the bass? Because you have to be
tall
in order to play the bass.
No, I didn't start growing until I was well past high school.
Really? But why that instrument over, say,
well,
violin?
Well, actually,
or
I started playing electric bass. And the reason I started playing electric bass.
Pickup chicks.
Was, no.
Okay.
Paul McCartney.
Oh.
I was the Beatles, you know.
But you didn't play left-handed, though.
No. No, I did not play. And I am left-handed.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't start playing upright until I got to college.
Okay. And you played in college.
When did you start walking upright?
That's debatable.
He's still working on that. Yeah.
All right. Now, what's the next song you'd like to play? Oh, and again, let's remind people that they are playing. Their show is Saturday, December 14th, 7:30 at the Copernicus Center on West Lawrence. And to get tickets, call 773-777-8898. Real easy to remember. 773-778-8998 or go to CopernicusCenter.org/tickets.
Get out of the house and do something fun for the love of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Get in the Christmas spirit. It's not
literally
all about presents. Literally. All right, what song will you?
Well, the second song we'll do is called Dear Little One. It's a Christmas carol that most people haven't heard, but it was special to me because it was the very first song I ever played professionally. I was asked to play a midnight mass. I think I was a sophomore in high school, and Mayor Daley Sr. was attending that mass.
Wow.
And there's a longer story behind this song with a miracle, but with an organist and her eyesight, but I won't get into that right now.
We'll I want to hear that.
Well, the good news of it is Amy, if you know how hard it is to get a seat at midnight mass. If you're with the band, boom, you're in the front row.
Right. You have to get there at 10:30 for midnight mass. All right. Please, go ahead.
Dear little one. Thank you.
one, how sweet thou art. Thine eyes are bright, they shine. And so bright they almost seem to speak when Mary's look meets thine. How faint and feeble is thy cry, like plaint of harmless dove, when thou dost murmur in thy sleep of sorrows and of love.
Say, I went to my happy place again. That is so wonderful. Again, is there any other way that people can buy tickets besides this long website? CopernicusCenter.org/tickets?
Well, you can put a link up at am560.com, I would imagine.
You know what, Ray? That's why we're glad you're here.
That's what I would do.
Marketing director right there. Yeah, go to 560theanswer.com, and we'll have a link for a way that you can get tickets. Is there one more song you guys want to play?
If you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind. I'd love this.
We've been known to have homecomings at our Christmas concerts. We've brought a Marine home, surprised his dad on stage. We've brought a Navy person home and surprised his family on stage. Oh. And we just may have somebody this year, too. But during while the homecoming surprise is happening on stage, what's more appropriate to play than I'll Be Home for Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, you know, this song, it's such a tender song. 1943, when this thing first came out, and we were in a bit of a jam at the time and not exactly winning the war in 1943. And when this song came out, it was just so well embraced by people. You know, I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dreams. So you better get a Kleenex out.
Okay.
And it won Bing Crosby his fifth gold record.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where I'll be home for Christmas if only in my Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dream.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Wayne, tell everybody how easy it is to get up this time of day and sing.
Obviously. I got up before my voice did today.
Oh, that's all right. It was beautiful. Yeah. Anthony Kalkowski Orchestra with Wayne Messner. And they are performing again Saturday, December 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Copernicus Center. Buy your tickets now. Call 773-777-8898 or go to copernicuscenter.org/tickets or 560theanswer.com, and we'll have a link there. Thank you so much for bringing the Christmas spirit to life early.
Merry Christmas. And I like that it's a Christmas show.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Can't get into that.
On AM 560.
Can't get into that.
A lot of things you can't get into.
The Answer.
Can we just talk?
Can't get into that.
Can we just talk? Talk about where we're going before we get lost.
Who sings this song?
Khalid.
Really?
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know,
this
I'm right.
is a good song. Oh, I didn't know you had a falsetto voice.
Oh, yeah. I can bring it.
That voice belongs to Ray Stevens, Ramblin' Ray, filling in today for Dan Proft. And it's a pleasure to have you here.
Good to be here. It's fun to get back in the groove a little bit and be around, you know, real people that aren't in the middle of the woods wearing, you know, Carhartts and stuff like that.
But on the way in, you said that you ran into some vermin.
Well,
more than that.
I've never been here before, so I park in the parking garage, and Keith Conrad, one of the producers and the guy that owns the softest pair of hands in the world. I don't know if he's ever.
Amen. No, you know what? That is so true.
Yeah, I don't know. He's never worked. Well, he sent me a picture the other day of him sanding a chair, and he thinks that's construction work.
Well, that's a start.
And so I don't know what door I'm supposed to go in. And there's a door to the right, and I figure, well, I'm going to the answer. The door is probably to the right.
Uh-huh.
And I open a door, and it leads.
Everything leans right here.
It leads outside, and there's a coyote attacking a rabbit. And growling and screaming, and in the distance I can see the other coyotes coming, and I'm like, I can see it right now. It's going to be in the feeder column. Ramblin' Ray fills in for One Morning on the Answer, and the liberals get him. The liberal coyotes.
Well, glad you're okay. And you're here for a great week. You know, it's impeachment.
Yeah.
The impeachment is almost official now. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi directed committee chairman to drop articles of impeachment. The question is, you know, how many articles will there be? Ooh, three or four?
Mm.
They want to. They want to include.
Because she wasn't going to do this. I mean, you could tell when she made the announcement, she was struggling through it.
You think so?
I think.
Well, she sounded like she smoked some cigs.
Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit.
And they're deciding if the articles of impeachment should be limited to the president's dealings with Ukraine or broaden out to include what they call a pattern of obstruction that takes into account the findings from the Mueller report. And I thought the Mueller report was a dud. So if they, you know, put that in there, it doesn't stand a chance. But with more on that and much more, and we welcome back to the program David French, senior editor at the Dispatch, columnist for Time, Iraq vet and admitted Memphis Grizzlies fan, which we'll get to a little bit later on. Welcome back to the program, David. Hello. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
All right. So what do you think about all this impeachment theater and how many articles of impeachment do you think will be written?
Well, I mean, I think impeachment is a foregone conclusion. And I think acquittal in the Senate is almost a foregone conclusion as well. But I think it's all going to happen. I think there's going to be an impeachment. I think there will be a Senate trial. I think there will be an acquittal. And I think it'll happen relatively quickly. If the Democrats are smart, I think that they will confine the impeachment counts to the Ukraine dealings. Mm-hmm. The obstruction argument, I think, is less strong. Some of the arguments that, for example, Trump has made to resist the subpoenas are the same arguments that have been made by presidents of both parties for like the last 40 years or so, and are based in separation of powers principles. I think that the real issue that Trump has is with the Ukraine dealings, and the Democrats, I think, would be smart to focus on that.
How much of this do you think, and I just wonder, all right, you got President Trump who's gone to Washington to drain the swamp. He's not a politico, and the fact is a lot of the other people are, and how much of this might have just been him just being a little too loose with the way he was conducting himself? Do you think there's anything to that? It would seem to me that when the Democrats say obstructing or Democrats say he's trying to, dig up dirt on his political opponent, well, Joe Biden isn't his only political opponent.
Yeah, I think the main thing here is Trump's fixation on 2016. So I think the main thing, my friend Ben Shapiro has put it pretty well. He says there's really two big questions. One, is the main fixation Biden, or is the main fixation 2016 with Biden a sort of collateral damage in this? And I think that the main fixation is 2016 with Biden as a piece of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think what's happened here is the president has, and one of his former Homeland Security advisors, I think, gave the most insightful interview about this, and this was all the way back in September, and he said that the president is prone to believe some very wild conspiracy theories. And there was a back and forth inside the Oval Office with people on his Homeland Security team and his national security team saying, no, Mr. President, what people like Rudy are telling you about 2016 is false. This is not the way it happened. And the president would then go listen to Rudy and others and say, no, this is what really happened in 2016 is there's this server in Ukraine, and the server will prove that there was no Russian hacking. And so there was this back and forth, and the president is prone to believe conspiracy theories. And he was a birther before the election, during the Obama years, and he's prone to believe these conspiracy theories. And the thing that I think that's troubling here is he brought that into international diplomacy. It's one thing to have your own idea about the 2016 election that you harbor privately. It's another thing entirely to bring that into international diplomacy. And I think that's the core of what has happened here.
Why not just let it go? Yeah, obviously, to hold any office like this, you have to have a large ego, and we've seen that. We've also seen it with Joe Biden as early as yesterday with some of the things he was doing. Yeah,
he's insecure. It's so
just
weird.
Let it go.
He's not capable.
Well, the Biden for sub contest. I almost wanted to see that happen. and the question is, if the New Hampshire voter, the person who had been asking the question, beat him in the push-up contest, would Biden have dropped out? I mean, these are the questions that America needs answers to.
That
scared me a little bit. It was in New Hampton, Iowa, when that voter or possible voter questioned him about Hunter Biden's, job in Ukraine and how he got him that job. And do you think Biden handled that well?
it's the kind of thing where it's tough to predict, because on the one hand, if you're a Biden fan, and a lot of people in the Biden camp have been waiting for him to stand up and show some backbone and really punch back twice as hard. But then part of the problem is the Biden argument, the core Biden argument is sort of this return to normalcy, no more drama. That's one of the Democrats' core arguments for 2020 is we're going to get off this roller coaster. And challenging someone to a push-up contest is not getting off the roller coaster. It's
toxic masculinity.
Kind of, dare I say it, Trumpian. Yeah.
Well, I would probably agree with that, but you can't. You know, you just said it. You can't have it both ways. You know, are you against the rhetoric that President Donald Trump has, and then you go and do it? I don't think that supports your case.
Yeah, and what a lot of it gets back to is when you're talking about partisanship. Partisans love it when their own guy fights really hard, and they hate it when the other guy fights really hard. So I think, you know, my Twitter feed is about evenly split between Republicans and Democrats, and Republicans were shaking their head at Biden, and Democrats were kind of doing this, yeah, now there he goes, finally showing some backbone. So who knows?
Oh, it's so uncomfortable. And I know the comments he made, like, oh, I like when little girls sit on my lap and play with the hair on my legs.
Yeah, that
at the
was
pool.
Weird, man. That was just nuts.
Yeah, wait, let's just hear that again, shall we?
I got hairy legs that turn. Blonde in the sun, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
What?
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
What is, like, I learned about roaches? You know, what he said? What is that in reference to?
I could never be a politician because I could have to
be guarded
about everything you say. But that's a freak show right there.
Well, one thing you can say about Joe Biden is he is not and has never been guarded about what he says.
Yeah.
Do you think Joe Biden should have stuck around last time? Do you think his time has passed?
He's run three times now.
You know, I think it's pretty clear. If you look at footage from 2012 versus footage from 2016 versus footage from now, that he seems to have lost a little bit off the fastball, so to speak. And I do think that he had a chance in 2016. I think that when Bernie Sanders was a surprise serious contender against Hillary Clinton, that should have been an early notice to the Democrats that their sort of handpicked anointed candidate was very, very weak. And in fact, I mean, this is something they should have known forever because, you know, Hillary had a enormous lead on Obama and she squandered it, just enormous lead. And then she had an enormous lead on Bernie Sanders and she almost squandered that and may have squandered it entirely if the DNC hadn't sort of put its thumb on the scales. And so then she has this big lead against Trump and she squanders that. I mean, if you
look
at
that record,
she was a
horrible candidate.
She's the kingmaker. The person who wanted to be the first woman president was a kingmaker. I mean, she helped make several men president.
Well, it's weird because in Chicago, David, there was not one, not one Hillary Clinton sign in anybody's yard, which was so strange. Every sticker said Bernie Sanders. People at my church had this Bernie Sanders. Nobody was supporting her. And then they were so surprised when she lost. Like, well, what did you do to help her? Mm-hmm. You did absolutely nothing. All right, before we let you go, I have to ask you about, you're an admitted Memphis Grizzlies fan. Are you
taking pride
in this, or how did this happen?
You mean taking pride in the most exciting young core in the NBA? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Well, why should I get excited about him? Tell us about him.
So you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who's one of these sort of unicorn-type players, big man who can shoot the three, handle the ball, rebound, defend. But most importantly, you've got Ja Morant, who's right now the leading contender for Rookie of the Year. He didn't come up and didn't play in Chicago, I don't believe, recently because of back spasms. But you watch that kid play, and he has explosive athleticism, complete fearlessness, great court savvy. He's kind of a combination of a Derrick Rose, a young Derrick Rose, and a young Russell Westbrook in an interesting way.
Yeah, but they
way.
Lost to the Bulls up, 2 days ago.
How do you lose to the Bulls?
Yeah. Well, but, you know.
There's high school teams around here that can beat the Bulls. Just tell me you're not a Nashville Predators fan.
This is the youngest, you know, one of the youngest teams in the NBA. You guys are a little bit further developed in your rebuild. So, you know, and it was a road game. It was a road game, so anything can happen in a road game. And
I love this.
No, we're not going to be good this year, but we're just watch
the
out.
Building year.
Watch
all
out.
Right.
Let's talk in 2 years.
Talking sports with David French. Who knew? All right, thank you so much, David French. Thanks for joining us. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
David French, senior editor at The Dispatch, columnist for Time. He's an Iraq vet and admitted Memphis Grizzlies fan.
Hey, thanks for your service. Have you been to Nashville?
I have. I love it.
You've got to go to a Predators-Hawks game. It is, at any moment, an international incident may happen. It is really? Just, it's pandemonium.
David French joined us, by the way, on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Oh, I love this song. Name that tune. She's a beauty.
Beauty.
She's one in a million. She's
you can look, but you're
Ray Stevens.
Merchandise or,
you can say anything you like.
Yeah, this is George Strait.
Oh, we can stop. Justin, help a sister out. Who's singing this song?
Oh, come on.
Step up and don't be shy, because you will not.
There you go. Thank you.
The Tubes?
Yeah.
It is the Tubes.
B. Wavell and the Tubes.
I must have taken a decade off because I don't know the names of any of these songs.
It's a good song.
I can sing them.
Yeah.
So, all right, the Peloton ad got a lot of flack because, well, here it is. Listen.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time ride.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace in Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
So what do you think? Is that offensive?
You know,
is that fat shaming a skinny girl who's skinny to begin with, and then at the end of her year, she looks exactly like she did the year before?
I think there's a couple ways to look at it. I mean, if I were to take this personal, my favorite Gina is in fantastic shape, and we're cyclists. We do all of that stuff, and we're very active. She would love a Peloton for Christmas, and she's thin, but she's in shape. I think a size 2.
Oh, wow.
But she would be on regimen for this for a year just to do something different, just to change up her activity. I think that you know, everybody's got to jump on everybody for something these days. It's like, shut up.
Well, the Peloton husband is speaking out, and he's a school teacher.
Is this the husband in the commercial?
In the commercial. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. Is speaking out because he said, I am not this. Everyone says I'm being abusive to my on-screen wife. I'm not. Please leave me alone. It was a big shot that, you know, it's 5 seconds of fame. He's been receiving malicious feedback on his Facebook and Twitter. And they want him to, you know, goes, this is not
right.
Me.
You know,
I am,
you know, who's
playing
probably
the role of a man who bought his girlfriend or wife a Peloton for Christmas. So back off.
The guy that's probably getting his ass kicked is the guy that's is the ad agency guy that came up with the whole.
But it's not bad.
But the thing is,
I mean, and I'm a woman, and I don't think he's being abusive or.
If you've seen the
anything.
Hit that the company stock has taken since Monday,
how bad is it?
Oh,
now?
It's bad.
I know they were down 10% the other day.
It's now almost 15%, and it's. You know what? But here, this is what we have to do. Since the invention of social media, we have to be in everybody's business. And if it doesn't fit right with a certain group because they see her as thin, doesn't necessarily mean she's heart healthy. It's why can't we stay out of other people's crap?
Yeah, he said when they shot the commercial, it was extremely positive, but then everything changed when the video went viral and people started saying, "Oh, that's an abusive behavior to make her like he's forcing her to get on the bike and ride." He's not doing that. Real quickly, we want to thank Ray Stevens for being here this morning and remind people about our Food for the Poor campaign. We're trying to go to raise food for a year for 600 Venezuelan families. Go to 560theanswer.com/food and find out all the information how you can help. We're halfway there, folks. And also, if you want to become a business benefactor, $2,500 tax-deductible donation. Money goes to Food for the Poor, and we will give you 41-minute commercials right here, AM 560, Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to 560theanswer.com, search for the keyword food.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.